Jim is a giant in the wine and hospitality industry in Oregon, labor unions. And the challenge is, and right now we have an immigration debate going on.
This problem has been ongoing through the Obama administration. Maybe that this could be addressed.
A renaissance man. You're trained in law, you can do all some of the legislature, but you're a farmer.
There are people around the world look and see Oregon on that label, and they understand the quality and the values of the people who live.
Hello, welcome. This is Oregon Crossroads. I'm Dr. Bud Pierce, and today I have an outstanding guest speak with me today, Mr. Jim Bernot. And Jim is a giant in the wine and hospitality industry in Oregon. I did a little reading before meeting here with Jim, who's a personal friend of mine. And Jim was actually president, University of Oregon, in your class. That's great. He went on to study law, as his dad did. However, both Jim and his dad were interested in wine and the wine industry, and they had a vision of Pinot Noir coming to Oregon, into the Willamette Valley. And Jim is probably the most, well, he won't say it, but I'll say it, the most important person in bringing high-quality Pinot Noir to Oregon, and certainly of the living people today. And he's worked tirelessly at many levels, not only to create a great product and to create the hospitality industry with this great facility in the mid-Willamette Valley. And also has taken on some legal and some legislative challenges. So he's done so much. And he's created, the other interesting thing is, Willamette Valley Vineyards, and Jim is the chairperson and chairman of the board, was listed on the NASDAQ in the 80s. And he used crowdsource funding in order to fund the initial operation. So this is a lot of innovation. This is an innovative guy with tremendous vision, tremendous energy, and he's created something great here in the Willamette Valley. Now, what we're interested in is finding out about this, where it stands, what are the challenges, and how we can take this forward into the next level, and what kind of interaction is going to happen between society and Jim and his business and our government, and again, how we lead to a greater freedom and a greater prosperity for all Oregonians throughout the state. So that's a kickoff. Now we're going to talk to Jim. So Jim, thank you very much for speaking with me. And again, I'm biased. I'm part of this winery. I'm part of the wine club. I've invested in some of the winery expansion. So I am totally in on Jim Bernot, and he's a great guy. So Jim, tell us a little bit about, you know, kind of where we are, is where we're going to start. And then a little bit about some of the challenges that are being faced by the industry, and then how we're going to solve these and move forward.
You know, Bud, the first thing is that we have a remarkable climate, and here in Oregon and the Willamette Valley, Oregon is the 10th largest state in the union, and it has as many different microclimates and soil conditions as does France. And even though it's at the end of the Oregon Trail, and it's been a recent discovery on the part of Americans of what we can do here in Oregon, it's producing a remarkable success for Oregonians.
Amen.
And it's also providing very special opportunities for consumers to experience these remarkable wines we can grow here. The other aspect, though, of Oregon is that it has a very positive business climate for our industry. Recent changes, for example, at the federal level have been very helpful. The tax reform changes, the tax modernization changes for our industry and excise taxes has filled our sails.
Great.
So that the regulatory climate, I would say, in the last several years at the federal level, and the very positive climate we have from our local policymakers, whether it's our county commission or our local lawmakers, has been very positive. So if you look at why we are where we are today, it comes from people like you who serve or advocate in public service for strengthening the opportunity to develop what we have. And that's you know, Oregon is really a great homegrown story. of remarkable enterprise, but it would not have been possible without a public policy framework that encouraged it.
Excellent. That's excellent. It's good to hear that our local and state and federal lawmakers are looking out for the wine industry. And hospitality industry. Let me ask a question. Some of the things that come up, one is labor in your industry and the challenges. And right now we have an immigration debate going on and walls and who do we let in and that. What is a labor situation for the industry? Because that's obviously one of the things that you have to deal with. And government policy impacts that. What do you need? What do you want? I kind of go it that way. Not so much figuring out what the solution is, but what do you need for a thriving hospitality and wine industry?
Well, in agriculture, we need a steady and reliable workforce. And the problem we have is both parties in the Congress have been unable over many years to come to an agreement on what is a reasonable, responsible immigration policy. And that has been a real problem for all of agriculture, including ourselves.
Okay.
So that issue needs to be addressed. It could come to a flashpoint, and looks like it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And it may take this extraordinary action that the Congress is now and the President are now facing for to bring people to their senses. Correct. But this problem has been ongoing through I don't know how many administrations.
Correct.
Maybe it is going to get addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, despite how childish the disagreement appears to be, maybe there will be a silver lining.
Right.
So with labor, we need improvements. In small businesses were really challenged by changes in the minimum wage, for example, and that's created a lot of challenges and compressions for us. The changes likely will result in fewer opportunities for younger people or for people who need to re-enter the workforce, for example, people who have been incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunate, but we're just having to deal with it.
Okay. So I think the takeaway from that is federal government, do your job. I remember proposals by President Bush, President Obama, the senators, Republican senator, I think it was a gang of eight, and we need you to do your job. We need to have a reliable entrance of immigrants to America to help us grow our economy and to work in our important industries. You're farmers at one level.
Yeah.
You're a farmer. I like that. A Renaissance man. You're trained in law. You can do all the stuff with the legislature, but you're a farmer at baseline level. Pesticides, agriculture, regulation. Is there much impact that you're facing in that area right now?
Well, we, many of us, I would say nearly all farmers and ranchers in Oregon, in their hearts are stewards of the land. And in their practices are very careful in their application of technology in the field. In our industry, you'll find that to be really true. You'll find that we have organizations, we have an organization called LIVE, Low Input Viticulture and Enology. And that's a group of us where we follow a voluntary but very strict standards of stewardship in how we farm. And that produces no externalities. It doesn't produce any chemicals into our streams. It doesn't harm the soil. And it doesn't expose our employees or wildlife to anything that's dangerous. So I think you'll find that to be true across agriculture. We do have some issues with, I think, suburban and urban behavior in the use of chemicals, where a lot more awareness and training needs to be provided for people. I think sometimes people think that they want to get their lawn even greener than it is. And so if the directions say, so much per volume, maybe double will produce a greener lawn. But the problem is that goes down into our storm drains, it gets into our rivers, it depletes the oxygen in our water, increases the nitrogen in our water. which makes a downstream a whole series of problems. So we do. I think we need to do a lot more education in the use of pesticides and herbicides. But I think you'll find Oregon farmers and ranchers leading the effort to be very careful and judicious with the use of them.
Yeah, so I would say let's trust the people who live on the land. Thank you, Jim. I'm a little guilty of that green lawn syndrome, and I will cut back on my use of stimulants for green grass. And it is interesting through the years as you read about the trouble with the waterways of Oregon. A lot of it is due to the cities who could not get their act together with modern sewage systems and to care for the land. So again, we have to look inward. We have to look in Salem, where I live, to make sure that we're not polluting the Willamette River. And Portland and Eugene and our larger cities, Bend, have to pay careful attention. Interestingly, the farmers and the ranchers do so much, and they think about it every day. I think it's a lot of times we're worried about controlling you. The problem is us. And so
I would say they need to heal thyself.
There you go.
They really need to look at their municipal treatment systems, mm-hmm. and the use of them, because when we have these spillages that occur, some of them intentional, into our waterways. Here we are, Oregonians, taking so much pride in our state, mm-hmm. in our rivers and streams, and yet our municipalities are really not focused on addressing their part of the issue.
Correct, absolutely. Now, another point that's very interesting is you've had remarkable success at creating a premium product that is fairly priced, but it is a premium product. And premium products that are fairly priced cost a little bit of money. And so there are those who would look at your 35 years of labor, person that you put into this to help create this, and kind of like what the Willamette Valley is producing. People know now when they go into restaurants or the store that this is a place to get your Pinot Noir or Pinot Gris or your whatever wine is grown there, you're gonna get something that's good. Well, there's rumblings of people that might want to or have already started try to take that reputation and use it, even though they don't have the product. Do you want to comment on that a little bit?
Oregon has a great story to tell, mm-hmm. and it has, through over 50 years of hard work, produced an awareness of the quality of the things that we make here. And it's not just wine, it's other things that we make here. Where people around the world look and see Oregon on that label, and they understand the quality and the values of the people who made it, and they rely on that. Now that, unfortunately, whenever you achieve that high level of awareness and support by consumers, it can be exploited. And unfortunately it is now. And it's being done so in a fraudulent manner. The positive thing is that our state has taken this very seriously. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission, led by Steve Marks, Executive Director, Ray Rosenbaum, the Chair, have been very attentive and aggressive in defending truth in labeling laws. But there's more that needs to be done. The Oregon Legislature has an opportunity this session to strengthen the laws and make it more difficult for fraudulent behavior. The reason why this is a big problem for us is this is not a small operator that's doing this. It's the largest. Mm-hmm. This operator is now selling a wine that has achieved the number one position for Oregon branded wine, wow. for Pinot Noir and Rosé in the country, fraudulently. So it's confusing consumers, but it's also damaging all the law abiding producers that are in the Willamette Valley or in Oregon. So we got a big problem. But it all gets down to treating each other respectfully and telling the truth. And it really gets down to that. And we will need the legislature, the governor, and the attorney general's help. And we're asking for it.
So all those that are listening to this podcast, please contact your legislators and let them know that do not allow any outside interest to take Oregon's products, try to copy them and sell them in a deceitful manner. So again, you can look at certainly the Oregon Wine Council and the liquor industry's websites to get more information on that. And on a happy note, happy sad, what about you're coming together as an industry and as a group of individuals and helping the wine, the grape growers whose grapes were cut off from market because of these supposed smoke damage from our fires. Now, fires are terrible. We don't like smoky air. But the reality is that the grapes really weren't damaged, and you and I know that.
Right.
And let's talk about how that came together.
You know, it's I think it's in our DNA as Oregonians. You know, many years ago, when Oregonians banded together to help each other to build this state, you know, we did church raisings, we did barn raisings, we did house raisings where we helped each other. And I think you see that in the behavior of Oregonians today. I think it's part of who we are. And when the Rogue Valley growers had their contracts canceled only days, a few days before harvest, with no option, no time to find another market, Oregon winemakers said, "How can we help you?" And they banded together. They found space in their cellars to make the wine. We couldn't save all the fruit, but we saved some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And enough to pay the growers so that they wouldn't go bankrupt. In fact, we also got help from Republican and Democrat lawmakers and our state government in trying to figure out how we could bridge these growers who literally were depending upon those grape payments. So we're going to have a product called Oregon Solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rosé, a chardonnay, and a pinot noir. And I'm just really proud, not just of my fellow winemakers, but also our retailers in our restaurants. For example, Ross here in this area has already committed to take these wines and sell them Safeway. Fred Meyer has already agreed to put the wines on the floor. And the awareness nationally of what Oregonians are doing to help each other was realized yesterday when we got a call from the Pennsylvania Liquor Board. The Pennsylvania Liquor Board does all the purchasing for wine in their state. And they called and said, "We've heard about what Oregonians are doing to help each other. How can we help sell Oregon Solidarity wines?"
Fabulous. Nothing better than that. So there you have it. What we've heard here today is that Oregonians, highly talented Oregonians, who have a vision and a plan and a way to make their dream come true, can create great things in the state. And that by working together, we can achieve the kind of great outcome that we wish to achieve for all our citizens and all individuals in our state. So what I encourage you to do today is to go home, have a great day, and if you love wine, pour a great glass of Oregon Pinot Noir, ideally from Willamette Valley Vineyards, and have a great evening. Thank you.